This is Discipleship Dissected on Coach and Joe.
Welcome to Coach and Joe. My name is Chad Norris Lee, pastor of Bridgeway Church. And everybody knows Michael Thornton. He's on staff here. He's over Ascent, our school, university here, online and in person. And then today we got someone that Michael introduced me to 3 weeks ago. Three weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We're still talking about Tori Harper. How do you meet someone that we were talking about a minute ago? We've known each other 3 weeks, and in the spirit, really, it feels like 30 years.
A long time, yes, sir.
How is that? How does God do that?
Sovereignly, I think you know each other by the Spirit. The Spirit knows no age. And so when it's spirit to spirit, there's that connection. It kind of reminds me of Mary and Elizabeth. They came in contact with each other, and there was that leaping of wombs. So I feel like that's what it's been since I've met you.
That's what happened to me and you.
Absolutely.
You say by the Spirit. That's literal. Because yeah. I remember I was preaching, and I didn't know who you were. It's not like you had a sign over your head. And while I was preaching that day, I kept looking down. You may not know the story. This is 4 years ago. I'm preaching, and I see a flame of fire over a guy's head. And I had just started reading 2 weeks before that a book called Fire in the Carolinas.
Wow.
Speaking of sovereignty. And I didn't remember the author's name. And then he said his name. After the service, I made a beeline to him, and I said, wait a minute. Did you write a book called Fire in the Carolinas? He goes, yes. I said, oh my God. I said, I just read your book.
Unbelievable.
Maybe God's real.
Come on.
All right.
Absolutely.
I want to jump into it, and I'm going to be quiet on this. I want to hear y'all talk. I'll just kind of, let's go to Psalm 24. Okay. And we've read it a bunch of times. So let me set the scene. Michael moved here, and he's the crazy person that prays all the time. Now we end up believing by faith. We get a tent, cost a bunch of money, and all we do now, we just pray and make disciples and pray and make disciples. So let's go back in a time machine in our minds. We know what happens. Saul has a really rough go at it as king. And I don't know why he does it. He pays no attention to the presence. The ark is an afterthought. You know the story. Saul falls. David comes into his reign. David shows his humility. I haven't thought about this much, but David does not make a beeline to Jerusalem when Saul dies. Mm. Do you know it was almost 7 years after that?
Wow. Yeah.
He inquired of the Lord, said, what do you want me to do? Because if you take assumption, you think, well, Saul's dead, my throne.
Yeah.
Nope. God says go back to Hebron, right? Was it Hebron?
Yeah.
For 6.5 years-ish?
Yes.
Here's my point. So David wants the ark back in Jerusalem. Small problem. Fella touches it, dies. Uzzah. Now David's mad and scared, but eventually he gets it back from Obed. Here comes the ark, and he puts it center stage, the presence. Mm. I know we're in the new covenant now, but still, the principle still remains.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I did not know until last week. I talked to David Fritch about this. I didn't know that Psalm 24 was the psalm written about the ark going from Obed into Jerusalem. Did y'all? You probably knew that.
Yes.
This is the psalm. So,
wow.
So listen, how does it start off? It's a psalm of the ark, the presence going into its rightful place.
Yeah.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
Yeah.
So it starts off saying right there, I'm dust to dust. Whew. I'm not that big a deal. Everything in the world is the Lord's and everything in it. And then he asks a question, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Tori, I'm going to start with you. Last night I prayed this prayer. I said, God, I understand the consequences of this. There's no telling what it'll cost me. I want to go to the highest place in you I've ever been. And Corey Russell, without knowing that, comes over, and this is all he prophesies over me. God's going to take you to the high mountain.
Jesus.
All right, let's take our time. If I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me, and I'm already seated in heavenly places, a lot of people in the New Covenant say, well, that's legalism. Don't worry about ascending the mountain. I mean, you've already ascended. You've been seated in heavenly places. Yeah, I get it. But James says, you draw close to me, then I'll draw close to you. We're getting into consecration here. What is this whole ascend the mountain of the Lord? You said today, be very careful. Just because you're having church doesn't mean you're having church. We're talking about going to higher realms of glory. What is this ascending the mountain thing?
I believe, first of all, it's the death of human flesh. It is the death of the spirit man, of our mentality, our opinions, our will, our agenda. And it's, you know, it's funny how the kingdom works. You know, life to God is death. Up to human society is really low to God. And so God uses this paradox of the lower you go, the higher you go. The death is the beginning of life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He uses these things to speak about the entry points into the presence of God. And so it becomes with this place where I don't assume in my own flesh, my own pride of assuming this is the way in, but God, you've given me access and you've given me a welcome into your presence. And it's no goodness of my own. It's through grace that we enter in. It's through the Lord's mercy that we enter in. So it's the place of humility, is the doorway into the presence of God. It's the place of brokenness into the presence.
Let's be honest, Tori, and you're not going to want to hear this because you don't want to talk about it. Michael will. I'll just go for it. He ain't going to want to talk about it. Tori operates in an unusual high place in his gifting, right?
Yes.
Which is evidence of humility, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I teach at Ascent all the time. The only evidence of humility is promotion.
Sure.
Sorry. I exalt the humble and oppose the proud.
Yeah.
Tori, I've been around the prophetic 20 years. Michael. The gift that this young man walks in. So I want you to talk about, how then can some of these young people that are saying, you know, I want to know God. I want to know the same God that Tori knows. Because it's not about Tori. It's not about you. It's not about a leader. Practically, how do you get in the dirt? How do you stay in the dirt? What does humility look like? You're talking about death of flesh.
What am I supposed
to do? Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? I have a role to play in this.
Yeah.
Take your time. What is this?
Yeah. I would say one of the first things about it is just, you know, we're always in our society, we're always taught to learn, to be educated more and more. And of course, we value that.
Yeah, yeah.
But then at the same time, what I find personally is to go higher on the mountain, I have to unlearn more than I have to learn. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have to unlearn a lot of things in order to really let God take me up to that high place. So to me, that looks like a lot of humility. That looks like a lot of submission. It looks like a lot of being teachable.
Yeah.
Something for young folks, this is what I would say, be teachable, be submissive, and not just somebody that you admire or a leader that you really love or admire to be teachable to somebody like that, but teachable to someone on the street.
Yeah.
Someone that could just come up to you and just share a word, maybe even knowledge, correction. Can you receive that?
That wasn't you when you were on cocaine?
No.
What happened? How did you?
I got broken.
Yeah.
I got broken.
What happened? Was it instant?
It was a gradual process, but there was a few moments where, I wept like a baby. When I was filled with cocaine, crack, heroin, I went to a rehab center and I'll never forget it. I sat there, I shared it to youth the other night. They showed us the Passion movie. And I remember seeing images in the Passion movie. And the next day I went to go pray. And I didn't know how to pray. I didn't have any grid of reading the word, praying. And I sat there, I closed my eyes. And the only thing I could see was the image of that Passion movie. But I saw Jesus carrying that cross. And as I held my, as I kept my eyes closed, I kept hearing him say something. Oh. He kept saying something and he kept falling down and getting up. And it was like, I heard what he was saying. And he said, I have to get up. Michael needs me. Yeah. If I don't get up, Michael won't make it. And it became personal to me. I saw it. I beheld it. It became tangible. And I don't know, love exploded in my heart. I felt it for the first time.
I know that breaking is gradual with the higher levels, but there seems to be for most leaders a moment of that. And then there's some tearing away, obviously, down the road.
Yeah.
I feel like the Father shows me, you've just been in this for so long. Like, was there a moment that you surrendered your will?
Yeah.
Or has it just, do you have any moment like this to where you just surrendered?
Of course, yeah. I've had encounters after encounters of breaking moments early on in life. You know, I grew up in a single family home, raised by my mother, grandmother, kind of like the story of Timothy, Lois and Eunice, you know, type deal. But so many moments where all we had was the presence of God and the Lord's presence and prayer that was the thing that sustained us. We were desperate. I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to go without. I know what it's like to still have to minister and still walk through poverty and still all the different things that we walked through growing up, brothers in and out of jail, incarcerated, so many different moments. But I will say that one of the most humbling, breaking experiences came was 5 years ago at the death of my oldest brother, OD'd. And right there at his bedside, right before we had to make the decision whether we would pull the plug or not, I'll never forget standing there and the enemy saying to me, where is that healing anointing now? Where is that secret place now? But what we didn't realize is that the closest that I said to the Lord, I said this. I said, Father, if this is the closest my brother is ever going to get to you, we'd rather you take him. Either way, it's to God be the glory. It's painful. It's crushing. But I still believe you to be the God that heals. I still believe you to be the God that performs miracle. And it was the most painful experiences losing my brother. But I never forget the Lord took me to this passage in John. It says, unless a seed fall to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it goes to the ground, it will bear much fruit. And I've watched how God used the death of my brother to birth the ministry that I stand in today. At the most critical time of my life, God called and fashioned my ministry in crushing. And anytime that God's getting ready to do something, there's that dependency on him. And you were talking about going up to the mountain of the Lord. The higher you go on a mountain, if you do any type of study on mountain climbing, the higher you go, the altitude, the density of air changes, and you can't live on your own oxygen any longer. You need the oxygen of the Spirit. You're going to need the oxygen.
Let me tell you the story. You don't know this. So, you just said we're, Wendy and I were with John and Carol Arnott.
Come on, yeah.
This is 2 days ago. My wife had a hard time breathing. And Carol said, oh, sweetie, you're just going higher.
Boom.
Come on.
Boom.
And this is what the Holy Spirit showed Carol to tell my wife.
Yeah.
John and Carol Arnott, they led one of the most massive moves of God for 11 and a half years. I mean, there'll be multiple books written about this when they go to heaven one day. They stewarded an outpouring unlike, I mean, you've got Nineveh, Wells, Azusa. Toronto's in the conversation of hundreds of thousands of people traveled there to be a part of what God was pouring out. Anyway, Carol was the mom of that, still is. And she said, sweetie, the Holy Spirit started showing Wendy. That's what it was, too. I think it actually, I don't think it was Carol. It was the Holy Spirit. Carol was praying for Wendy, and the Holy Spirit showed Wendy that she was the altitude thing.
Yeah. The one of the things, not only does the wind change,
come on,
the noise of what you've just left is totally different. The higher you go, the level of noise down in the valley is no longer the factor. And the higher you ascend in God, there are a couple things. There's a greater dependency on a God. Then there's what looks like isolation, what God calls consecration, where he says, now I'm getting you away from the crowd so you can get into my cloud. The higher you go, the greater you go. So, yeah.
So good. Well, you know what's really wild is today at lunch, we had lunch with the Stones, Amber and I, and we were talking about this very same thing. And I remember we were sharing a story that when we first came to a table gathering here, Amber and I walked away because God had really met us here and the environment, the altitude was different in the Spirit. And so we actually had a conversation. We had a conversation. We said, it's like when we came in here, it was like an oxygen mask being put on our face. And we said, oh my God. So we were talking about today that as you go higher, the air gets thinner, it gets cleaner, and there's no striving.
Yeah.
There's the striving begins just to fall.
You know what he's showing me right now? And I'm sure he's showing other people this. Devils can't breathe that air.
No, they can't.
So I want to talk about this paradox. Paul says, I am seated in heavenly places. I understand that theologically because some people are going to be like, what do you mean ascend the mountain? I'm already seated. That's one side of the coin.
Yeah.
The other side of the coin is follow me. The only biblical narrative of the salvific story of God I see in the New Testament is follow me, follow me. Jesus is all leading us. He's leading us all to the same destiny, which is his Father. We get obsessed with what we're building out.
That's right.
The Father's the destiny.
That's right.
And the Father, he is lifted up. He's the most high God.
Yeah.
Like he's the most. I went to Costco, Peru one time, Cusco, Peru. And 22 of 24 people on our team had such bad altitude sickness. A man named Ben Rao wrote his wife a goodbye letter. He thought he was going to die.
Wow.
You get that high in God, the most high God. I mean, you're delirious. You can't even hardly
function.
Yeah. The Lord wants us all. I know we're already seated there, but we're on a journey of sanctification.
Yeah.
What does consecration practically look like for you?
I mean, consecration for me looks like full devotion to the Lord. It is a life apart from anything that is temporal, to pursue that which is eternal, which is God himself. I'm not pursuing things, I'm pursuing a person. Mm-hmm. It's being so lovesick for an individual, I'll do anything I've got to do. If I've got to give up this, if I've got to give away this, I'm willing to do that because I'm after something. I'm that in love. Something has captured my heart. So it's not that I got to give it up, I get to give it up.
You know what capital I have found that's the easiest to know where you are on surrender?
Yeah.
Financial capital.
True. Mm-hmm. True.
Oh, I love you, God. Give him $1,000. That ain't you, God. I don't love you that much, God.
Yeah.
He tells the disciples, go and heal the sick, raise the dead. Don't take anything with you.
That's right.
What's consecration look like for you practically?
Well, I just want to just build on what Tori just said and a little bit different angle of the motive, because I think you just explained what I would about what it is. I want to put the why and the real beauty behind it. And it has to do with love. Because I think a lot of people will themselves into consecration. They will themselves into higher in the mountain.
So
but I think that does only, it does, that's not what Jesus is really,
that's so good.
Really wanting. He says, I desire what? Obedience even more than sacrifice.
That's right.
So for me, I get motivation for consecration when I ask him personal questions about me, for example.
That's so good.
I'll ask him, what do you think about me? What do you love most about me?
Wow.
When you look at me, wow, what do you see? So I asked him this question recently, within this week. I said, when you look at me, what do you see? You know what he said? He said, I see hope. I said, what? Hope. He said, because of every time that you say yes, every day you wake up, Michael, every time you say yes, remember you left behind this wicked lifestyle,
wow,
of drugs and alcohol and addiction. You give me hope for everyone else that's caught in addiction. Your life models hope to me and to my angels in heaven. And so when I hear that from him, now I'm crying. Now I have motivation. Oh, here's my food. Here's my money.
Here's
whatever you want. Because now I'm in love with him. Now it's like we're really going deeper.
Actually, it's so funny. It sounds like David. He said, what shall I render for all the things that you've done? Mm. Your goodness, your mercy. And everything was motivated out of that place of gazing and desire. He had encountered God, so therefore he wanted to build the tabernacle. He encountered God, and one thing I've desired, I'll build a tabernacle so I can just please you. I'll build a life so I can just be with you.
Can you, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in. Can you elaborate on what you shared earlier today? Because what you said today was awesome. Tabernacles and tables.
Okay.
Come on, what is the Lord showing you with tabernacles
and tables? So we know that Isaiah 4 speaks about, in the latter part of Isaiah 4, it says, and I will create over the whole site after I've purified through burning, spirit of burning and fire. I'm going to create over the whole site of Jerusalem a tabernacle, a canopy, a bridal canopy, a tent where they would come and meet me. He was always invested in finding a place where we can come under his banner. And it actually reminds me of Song of Solomon. I believe Song of Solomon's chapter 2. He's invited me into his banqueting table where his banner over me, his hoopah, his canopy over me is love. And I believe that there's an invitation to the body of Christ in this hour. We've been under every banner but the banner of love. We've been under the banner of our churches, the banner of legalism and all this crazy stuff. But he's like, there's a greater banner. There's a greater banner, Jehovah, who is our banner. There's a greater banner that I want to invite my people up under, which is the place of tabernacling with me, not only in a place, but they become the tabernacle. They become the housing, the dwelling place of God. And also that they don't just come to the altar, but they become an altar where I can rest my glory upon. And so I started looking in Exodus, I believe 25, where it deals with the whole layout of Moses' tabernacle. Moses' tabernacle had a whole layout of things. It has a table and a lampstand. The lampstand represents seven spirits of God, according to Isaiah chapter 11. All of this is rooted out of the presence. All of this is not just elements. It's a type and a shadow. What we have access to from the altar, what we have an access to from the place of communion. Communion, that's such a big word. I could almost park there, but communion, what gives us access into revelation. It gives us access into all the things that man strives so much for can be found under the tabernacle, can be found in the presence. And Moses' tabernacle had all this logistics and stuff. David's tabernacle was simply worship and pursuit.
Revelation's not automatic.
Come on.
Right? This is where we're going. I know I'm already seated in heavenly places, but revelation's not automatic. you have to get up under tabernacle. And Paul says in Ephesians 1:17, I keep on praying.
Yeah.
That the Father would give you a spirit, or that you'd be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know the Father. What I'm trying to say is this. This is what he's showing me. Chad, I do want to take you to the highest place.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to cost you.
Yeah.
He hits my sacrifice.
Yeah.
Tori, you're 33 years old. You're lead pastor of a church. You lead a house of prayer. I'm noticing with younger people, the conversation of consecration for a certain camp inside the church, which I call down here hyper grace. It's like, no, we just need love encounters. You know, Jesus, seriously, Jesus went through a Gethsemane, so I don't have to go through a crushing. I don't believe you can get to the summit of the mountain of God. I don't believe you can get to a higher realm of glory without a crushing.
Yeah.
Without a pruning, without it costing me something.
Yeah.
Costly prayer.
Yeah.
Not just religious prayer, but just like, I love what you said today. I love this. He loves quality time. Like, we have hour-long services in church in America. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We were just getting started, honestly, this morning. What were we, 2.5, 3 hours into it? What have you noticed with younger people that the road gets narrow when you talk about consecration?
Absolutely. It becomes a lost art. I think we've had again, it's a false teaching or maybe bad examples, if you will, of what that looks like. I think we think about what we have to give up versus the honor and the privilege it is because of love that we get to give over, that we get to turn aside. And one of the things, David said it like this. He said, you know, I will not bring in nothing that didn't cost me anything. Anytime that I see where there were great men and women of God, we have a generation that longs to be great, but don't want to pay a price. And anytime that I see individuals that made history, I can always trace it back to something that they had to give up, a crushing, a crucible moment. You have Abraham with Isaac. Isaac, come up to this mountain, slay the very thing that you've waited for. Yeah, you felt entitled to it, but will you give it up? Are you entitled to it, or do you want me? And he says, go up here. And Abraham, when you get up here, he says, I see that you love me. Stay your hand. You see, David, I'll do whatever you want, Father. If it's building the tabernacle, I'll do it. You see, the woman with the alabaster jar, it was costly. Mm-hmm. She broke it open. Each time, men were willing to give up their reputation. They were willing to give up what made them look famous versus seeing the fame of Jesus, the fame of God, what was on his heart being established. And so that's what consecration does. It's saying, I give up so that you can show up.
And I believe the reason he doesn't show up to many places, businesses, marriages, they don't give up.
They won't give up.
You tapped out.
Yeah.
I personally believe the message of going to a high place in God is you got to quit.
That's right.
Luke 9:23. You want to be my disciple? All right, take notes. Here it is. Deny yourself.
Yeah.
Deny yourself.
Yeah.
And pick up your instrument of torture.
Whoa.
That's a cross. Michael, close us here. What is the Father doing in you right now in terms of what is he calling you to in him? Not what you're called to build, not ascent, not preaching. Where is he taking you into him?
I really believe that he's taking me into a place in him that is just, I'm completely captivated, completely just, I just want him. You know, that's just been my cry here in the last couple months. And it's really amped up in the last few weeks. But I just want to be with him. Alan Hood said something the first night here at the end of his message, which would resonate exactly where I am. And he said, you know what? I don't even really care about ministry the older I get. I just want to be with him.
Yeah.
And that's in my heart. That's where I feel like I'm at right now. I just want to be with him.
I believe you too. What about you, brother?
He just said it, man. He's the highest ministry. I think that there's so many areas in my life, in all of what we build and what we do. One of the things that the Lord said to him, he says, son, I never asked for any of it. I never asked you to build me anything. There's a place of simply being with the Lord. We're not human doings. We're human beings. And it's the place of being with the Lord, being rooted in him. And I think for me, it's been this place of God, shred anything that causes me to be a Martha and busy for you versus doing life and ministry at your feet like Mary. And so that conscious, where am I? Why am I doing this? and making sure that everything that I do is unto the Lamb, unto him, and that I can throw it back at him. He may give it to me, but I can give it back to him as an offering, as a token, because of love and because I love him.
You're in New York City.
Yes, sir.
You're in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Tell everybody the name of your church, okay, what you're doing, and how they can keep up with you on social media.
Okay, the name of our church is the Global Prayer Room. House of Prayer. We have a House of Prayer, Global Prayer Room, NYC. Church is Habitation Church. Of course, you know what that name means. It's all about abiding and being in the presence of the Lord. We're located in New York City. You can check us out online, www.globalprayernyc.org. Yeah, God's moving, man.
Well, Michael, I'd love for you to pray over Tori, bless what he's putting his hand to, and bless these young ones that are watching us.
Father, thank you, Lord. We just thank you for Tori. We bless him in Jesus' name. We bless him with every spiritual blessing in high places. We bless him, Father, with finances, with resources. Father, we bless him with rest. We bless him with rest, with time management. We bless him, God, with valuable leaders and people that you could mobilize around him that he can train up and lead. But most of all, Father, Lord, I know us in this community here, we just bless Tori with our friendship. And we just thank you, Lord, that we get to cross paths together, that we get to do this together. And so we love him and we just bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for watching. Keep up with us. You can keep with us online at coachandjoe.com or bridgewaychurch.org if you want to start listening to the sermons coming out of this house. Tori, look forward to seeing you back here many, many times. Be blessed. Go walk in friendship with the Father this week.
Thanks for joining us on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Don't miss the Coach and Joe Talk Show on YouTube and coachandjoe.com for epic merch, blogs, and ways to help keep us up and running. We'll see you next time on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast.